guys, and happy Friday. Welcome to Unapologetic Live. Today we're going to be talking all things Martha's Vineyard, as there has been some stunning drama happening up there. Also going to be talking about fake boobs in the classroom, question mark? And Dennis Prager's going viral on Twitter for a trending comment on his daily radio show. And of course, the left is not happy about it. All that, plus we're going to be doing a Super Chat Q&A at the end of the show today. So if you have a question, send on in a Super Chat. And once we get through those Super Chats, we'll take questions from the regular subscriber-only chat. Let's get into it. Welcome in, guys. Happy, happy Friday. I'm your host, Amala Epinobu. You got Taylor sitting next to me.
What's up?
And Scott in the producer's bay. I'm not going to lie, y'all. I'm a little tired on this Friday afternoon. Taylor and Scott, how are you feeling?
I'm close to the same feeling. I'm just kidding. I just had an espresso, so I'm hanging in there.
So he's going to boost
I very much needed an espresso before this.
Then Scott does not have one. I will tell you guys, we've worked on some very interesting projects this week. I did an interview with Megyn Kelly, which is now on her channel. You guys can go check it out. We've posted some clips from that. Plus, Taylor and I did a really big show. We can't tell you the name of the show yet, but it's going to come out soon. I did two episodes of the show, and then Taylor was on one with me as well.
Yeah, but I'm like very minor role. But anyways, happens.
Very what big else? Show.
You had another interview with Marissa this week. We recorded another interview with a nationally famous country music star.
Country music, baby.
So it's been a week.
That'll be
coming out next week. So
yeah, so anyways. Lots of projects coming out the pipeline that I can't wait for you guys
gonna
to
be on
hear
Fox News
about.
Tonight.
I am going to be on Fox News tonight in the 7 p.m. Pacific hour, 10 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast, baby. So yeah, you'll see me on Fox News too. Lots of things going on this week. So we're going to have a chill, just conversation. Fun little podcast today. And to start off, we're going to get into Martha's Vineyard. So I'm sure you guys are already aware of everything that's happening right now, but Martha's Vineyard has declared a humanitarian crisis over 50 illegal aliens. You hear that headline, you go, okay, how's that any different from what's happening in the rest of the world right now? States like Texas, Florida, California, where just an influx of illegal immigration is happening on any given day. This one's interesting because our governor in Florida, Mr. Ron DeSantis, actually sent these 50 illegal immigrants to Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard is infamous for being where, you know, elites, typically white progressive elites, go to vacation. They have their summer homes. The Obamas spend quite a bit of time in Martha's Vineyard, although they're not white elites. But that's what Martha's Vineyard is famous for. And it's famous for having lots of progressivism and people who say they care about diversity and illegal immigration and refugees and all this stuff. So Ron DeSantis said, hey, Florida is not a sanctuary state. I don't know where you guys got that idea. We can't just take this massive influx of illegal immigration like all these other states are taking in. What we're going to do is we're going to send 50 of them to Martha's Vineyard, and you guys are going to deal with them. And we can get into the ethical questions of whether or not that is something good to do, whether or not a politician should be able to use physical people, you know, real people as political pawns. But as you can imagine, this really sent a shockwave in the news. Martha's Vineyard started freaking out and saying, you know what, we cannot take this influx of illegal immigration. 50 immigrants is too much for our population. We don't have the resources. We don't have places to house them, even though they have signs up like this on the island of Martha's Vineyard. We respect women. We value Black lives. We stand with our LGBTQ community members. We stand with immigrants, with refugees, with indigenous peoples, and with people of all faiths. We stand with our community. Now, of course, this sign is not an invitation for illegal immigration. We don't want to go as far as to say that. But it does sort of speak to the general politics of Martha's Vineyard, the sort of policies that you think they would promote. A lot of the policies that have been ushered in this current administration that led to an influx of illegal immigration, the likes of which we've never seen before as a country. And now the elites in Martha's Vineyard are the ones who are going to have to take in these 50 immigrants and try to deal with them. The last we heard, they're already trying to ship them out of the island. So that's where we're at.
Yeah. all of a sudden they're in favor of deportation out of Martha's Vineyard.
Right.
Just not out of the country.
And we do have this clip here for those of you who want to hear it from the horse's mouth. This is news footage from Martha's Vineyard, them talking about the influx of 50 illegal immigrants. I want to be very 50. We're talking hundreds of thousands in Texas, Florida, California. 50 on Martha's Vineyard.
So, what are the most difficult challenges right now?
The difficult challenges are we have, at some point in time, they have to move from here to somewhere else, right? We cannot, we don't have the services to take care of 50 immigrants, and we certainly don't have housing. We're in a housing crisis as we are on this island, and so we can't house everyone here that lives here and works here. We don't have housing for 50 more people.
What a reasonable thing to say. It's almost like exactly what we've been hearing from Texas and Florida and California and all of our southern border states who have been dealing with the influx of illegal immigration. And you guys updated me in the chat. They have been shipped out of Martha's Vineyard. So it took exactly one day.
Yeah, 24 hours. Problem solved.
It took exactly 24 hours for your wealthy progressive elites to ship illegal immigrants off their land and off their very, very expensive property. And over to Cape Cod, I believe, is where they went.
Okay, so that was Cape Cod's problem. Called in the National Guard, too, for this.
Yeah, a humanitarian crisis.
And if you look at some of these pictures online, there are literally more journalists with cameras, like more than 50 cameras pointing at the people who are there than there are like actual immigrants. Which just goes to tell you that, I mean, it's kind of like both sides are using this as a spectacle, but I think that's just testament to the fact that this is a friction point in our culture right now. And I think the narrative that we're seeing on the left is, oh, you're like you, as you nodded to earlier, is you're using these people as political pawns and this is human trafficking. But it's like some perspective is in order here because 50 is about the same number of migrants that were found in a container dead at the border a few months ago. And so if you want to talk about human trafficking concerns, like a little bit of perspective is in order. And if anything, you know, the fact that the states that are sending these migrants to Martha's Vineyard is calling attention to the larger issue. And I think that's the spirit of it. And so was it executed perfectly? Is it the nicest thing to do? No. Yeah. But we do have a legitimate crisis on our hands that is worth talking about, and that is being ignored. And so that is why I think it's justified in the big picture.
Yeah, it's probably, if I was sitting and I was the governor of a state, I'm not sure I'd be willing to take such a strong arm on an issue like this and do something like that. Not a personal decision I would make, but it does beg the question, would we be talking about the problem that is illegal immigration, at least on the scale that we're talking about it, if this did not happen, if these 50 people were not sent to Martha's Vineyard? And like you said, their outcome of landing and getting out on Martha's Vineyard is far better than a lot of the outcomes that we're seeing of people being brought over by coyotes and traffic. Right. And kids being exploited and trafficked across the border. The sexual assault that is happening to particularly young women who are making the journey south and making the journey from the south up across the border. There's so many different issues that we are experiencing now as a country due to just lack of leadership here. That's really all it is. Because we went through a certain administration that was willing to seal off the border of the United States and was actively working on doing that. We get our current administration and what happens? That project stops. And suddenly you have all these vulnerable points across the southern border of the United States that we've actually visited ourselves. So Taylor and I, and Will at the time, actually travel down to the southern border here in California, where you can literally look out and see Tijuana. And the border is virtually non-existent. You can see the newer border project that we were working on that this current administration stopped, and you could see the border that has just been completely dilapidated for I don't even know how long. It's like a hop, skip, and a jump into the United States. It really is.
And it's a, you know, we've heard the saying, you can't have If you don't have a border, you don't have a country. And it's a very basic thing about national sovereignty that you need. You cannot have unfettered an influx of immigrants to your country that are not being properly received, vetted, and going through the process. We have a legitimate immigration process, and we all love that as Americans. We want immigrants. But this is a longstanding problem, and it's rife with dangers for young minors, as you said, being trafficked, where there's problems with crime around the country. My great uncle was killed by an illegal immigrant drunk driver. So that hits home a little bit for me. But, you know, the refusal to solve this issue because there's a perception that you can benefit politically or that you're content to put up with harm that is happening through leaving this problem unsolved, leaving the wall unfinished. So that's just like a metaphor for leaving the larger problem unsolved. You're willing to put up with harm because you can benefit politically from it. And I think that is the disgusting thing here that needs to be called out because we do have legitimate problems that we need to solve. And heretofore, we've been ignoring them. So, you know, again, I think it's not the most comfortable thing, but the overarching reality and harm that's being done is worth confronting in this way.
And let's look at it from the most kind perspective and say that the people living on Martha's Vineyard who maybe would have advocated for things like open borders or at least far, far more lackadaisical immigration reform, maybe they're getting a wake-up call right now. And maybe they're realizing, hey, I didn't quite think that through, because I certainly don't want a bunch of undocumented people who we don't have resources for, we don't have housing for, infiltrating our communities. That's what we do not want. So at the very best, I'm hoping that people who have been supporting these policies for quite some time without realizing what it truly means to support them, they've gotten a little wake-up call here, much like the wake-up call that people are getting in Texas and Florida and California, even though most of us, I think, already knew that was not a good idea.
Yeah. There are like echoes of Solzhenitsyn's message to the West, too, here. It's like, you don't really know it until the boot drops on you.
Yep.
And that's exactly what's happening right now with the people of Martha's Vineyard. And the problem is, it's like, this is happening at 100,000 scale size than just the 50 people we're talking about there. It's like 4.2 million throughout the country at this moment in time. And it's just like, oh boy, if that small economy can't handle it, you know, you multiply that by thousands, and can our economy handle that? We're already sort of in the throes of it right now, so that's a question to ask.
Yeah, there was like a little tweet that was put out comparing, you know, Martha's Vineyard, here's their population, with 50 immigrants in Martha's Vineyard. And then it showed Del Rio, Texas, which has more illegal immigration than they do actual American citizens living in Del Rio, Texas.
Yeah, I got the numbers here. There's Martha's Vineyard has a population of 17,000. They've had migrant encounters of 50 as of yesterday, which they already have chipped out of there. Del Rio, Texas has a population of 34,500. They had 49,563 migrant encounters in July.
Insane.
Yeah. Whoa.
That's insanity. Like, really, it really puts the issue under a microscope.
Right, and it's the hypocrisy, it's the NIMBYism. It's the same energy as when celebrities go out there and support defunding the police policies, but they have private security, or they support homeless rights but they live in Beverly Hills where you're not allowed to have an encampment, where they support climate policies but they fly the private jet, where they support lockdowns but their kids go to private school or are homeschooled, or they support vax mandates or whatever it may be, but they're exempt, and then, you know, they can go to the restaurants that are still open, or they can get the haircut.
Right.
It's the hypocrisy and the double standard, and you're not willing to suffer the consequences of the very policies you support. Whenever they face those consequences, whenever they're brought to their doorstep, which is, I think, why this is such a delicious thing to kind of witness, they can't handle it. And not from an infrastructure perspective, but from an emotional perspective.
Right.
And they ship them out within 24 hours.
Yeah. And it's just like, how do you think everybody else feels? How do you, and you know, it's going to happen, like Taylor said, on all these different issues. Yeah, push for defunding the police and see how it affects you. Eventually, it will reach you. We saw it happen here in Los Angeles. It ended up, you know, a very wealthy philanthropist living out in Beverly Hills ended up having her home broken into, and she got killed. So these policies will affect everybody eventually. Like, if you truly allow society to deteriorate as much as what they're pushing for right now, they're not going to be the ones who get to, you know, shield themselves off and not feel it. Eventually, it will reach you. It's unfortunate that sort of lower income people have to deal with it before anybody else. But I truly think eventually it is going to reach you. Like, there's no way you can escape it with how bad things are getting at this point. You really, really can't. What's really good about the situation is the memes, though. I want to show you guys a few of them. Here's progressives in Martha's Vineyard today. And for those of you who are listening, I guess, I don't know how to really describe this. It's Homer Simpson holding a sign that says, "In this house, we believe Black Lives Matter. Women rights are human rights. No human is illegal. Science is real. Love is love. Kindness is everything." And he's just slowly disappearing and then switching the sign out for a no trespassing sign.
It's accurate.
Oh, man, it really is accurate. It really is accurate. Here's another one. "Have the residents of Martha's Vineyard consider setting up a tent again like they did last year? I heard it comfortably held hundreds, and that was in the middle of a pandemic." And for those of you who don't recognize that picture, Obama held quite a big party out on Martha's Vineyard where he invited hundreds of his fellow elites and celebrities who all, for the most part, happened to be very much pushing pandemic hypocrisy, telling you to mask up, vax up, regulate, don't go outside your house, your business is not essential, while they partied on Martha's Vineyard with Barack and Michelle. That looks like plenty of space for 50 migrants.
Is that the same thread, too, as the one where they're holding the guns?
There it is.
That's my favorite.
if
this is that meme that came out when it was like earlier. When was it, like last year, that this white couple had some guns when like protesters were, or rioters were coming down their street, and like it went viral because it was like they were called Ken and Karen, and someone photoshopped Barack and Michelle Obama's faces on them.
Oh, it's so funny. So good. So good. We gotta find some more. Oh, there's another switching for the trespassing sign there. "We don't have any space," we say from our giant pool.
And this lady who's talking about the housing crisis, it's like, we don't have enough housing units available for these people. Maybe, are there all like one bedroom apartments in Martha's Vineyard? No one has spare bedrooms in any of these giant mansions? Like, give me a break.
Right. I was talking to a family member of mine yesterday. I will not say which family member I was talking to, but they're like, you know, I would house immigrants if you know, if they came into my community. I would do it. And I have done it before. And I just told them, I'm like, okay, that's you. Can we not then just move over and point out the blatant hypocrisy that we're seeing right now?
Sure.
I'll be willing to concede that you'd be willing to house a family of immigrants if they came into your community and needed housing. Okay, let's talk about everybody else now, though.
Right, and it's more of a macro, like the burden that's being put on these border towns and border states is just way disproportionate to the burden that's being put on places like D.C. or New York that are getting a trickle of what these other states face every day. And the outcry is far disproportionate. The border states are just expected to deal with it, to absorb it, whatever. And the D.C., New York, Martha's Vineyard people can't handle it. They're calling in National Guard and freaking out and deporting people within 24 hours.
And you guys know, like, I used to be all open borders because, you know, theoretically, it sounds like, you know, land is just land. Who's to say this land belongs to them? Who's to say you can't just travel anywhere at a whim? Shouldn't all humans be able to be free and to live wherever they see fit? Logistically, it's a nightmare. We heard this from New York City as Mayor Eric Adams came out and said, you know what? And he's blue, he's progressive, came out and said, yo, where are these kids going to go to school? How are we going to provide medical attention to the people who need medical attention? Where are they going to work? Where are they going to live? How are we going to resource all these people? How are we going to communicate with them in a language that they understand to process them? How many translators are we going to need to get bussed into New York City in order to deal with this influx of people? There are a lot of logistics questions that people have to ask themselves before pushing these sorts of policies. Unfortunately, what we do is instead push the policies and then deal with the logistics questions later. Here's another meme. New Vineyard's Vines catalog just dropped. I can't.
Okay, this is my new favorite, actually.
New Vineyard Vines catalog just dropped. This is atrocious.
Out of control.
Whoever made this is, oh my gosh, he's going to burn for eternity. is going to burn. But yeah, so I'm sure there will be many a meme from this. I mean, I don't want to really take away from what is a very serious situation. Like, we have to think there are 50 people involved in this who are in a country that they are unfamiliar with, just being, you know, moved around like political pawns. It really is political pawnry. Like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat that whatsoever. And it's not something that I personally, it's not a personal decision that I would make. However, it is a decision that has been made and is done. So
I would make that decision.
Yeah, I can tell. Scott's like, Scott, would you make the decision?
Yeah, it would take me some time, but I think in the end, you'd have to. You know, you'd have to fight the heart of the problem. And if you're if they're not willing to fight the heart of the problem, then that's your only recourse is to kind of push it back.
And being caught up in the middle of American politics is a relatively small thing to endure compared to traveling by foot through all of Central America, being all the risk and things that they endured. And not to say that it justifies adding anything to that, but it's like, come on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. I didn't know. Did they ever say where most of these
Venezuela,
people came from?
Venezuela.
Okay. Fleeing a communist
regime. You get to skip the entire normal U.S. immigration process. You get to just.
Everybody can do that these days.
So it's like, well, okay, you had to fly in a plane and, you know, walk 3 more miles after walking thousands.
What did I tweet out? I tweeted out when Novak Djokovic was told that he couldn't come into the U.S. to play the U.S. Open, that he should have just come through the southern border.
Yeah, honestly.
Straight up.
And you said you didn't have quips or anything for Twitter.
One or two come every now and
we're trying to
again.
Get Omelet to tweet more, guys.
Yeah, I'm so bad at it. I'm so bad.
Viral banger tweets.
I don't have any viral banger tweets, and that certainly was not one of them. Speaking of going viral, let's talk about Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager cannot stay out of the news. I don't know what this man does to attract it. He's quite literally just sitting in his little radio studio where he, like he does every single day, for 3 hours a day, talking to the American people. His last viral moment was writing an article titled, "Women Are Disproportionately Hurting This Country." Now I see why that went viral. You know, the headline on that one is a little spicy. But I back up that article. We went through, we actually read it. We did a whole video about whether or not women are disproportionately hurting the country. And if men are, what ways do they do that? You guys can check that out on the channel. It's only about 20 minutes, a little short thing that you guys can get into if you want to ask yourself that question. But now Dennis Prager is trending because on his radio show, he said something along the lines of a school having a sign that says the world is better because you are in it is really not that great of a message, and he doesn't know that kids really contribute anything to the world. Now, that's a paraphrasal, you know, gauge on that. We'll play the video for you so you can hear it. It now has nearly 1 million views. It's inching up on 1 million views. Here's Dennis Prager.
Where is my favorite sign app? No, that's not it. Damn, I threw it away. That school sign that I saw, schoolroom sign that I saw in the New York Times. The world is better because you are in it. I don't know what grade it was. I assume something like fifth grade. What a stupid message.
Dennis!
It's not true. What has any fifth grader done to have made the world better because he or she is in it?
Dennis. Oh, my gosh.
Boy, savage.
Again, as I pointed out, it's the opposite of the way many of us were raised. If my father had said to me, you know, Dennis, the world is better because you are in it, I would have believed that even though he was never drunk, that he was actually drunk.
Okay. So Dennis goes viral for this 1 minute, 10-second clip. Not much to break down here. I think we're really making a mountain out of molehill here, but let's try. Okay, so he says, making a sign in the classroom that says the world is better because you are in it is a stupid sign. Do you guys have any initial thoughts on this? I don't see anything wrong with having. I can see where, you know, the typical conservative would be like, it's kind of like tantamount to giving somebody a participation trophy. And like, you can't just throw kids a participation trophy and tell them the world's better because they exist when it's really not better. But I don't know. You would expect like your parents to be like, Kamala, you know, the world's better because you're my you're my daughter. And it kind of made me sad when he's like, my dad told me that. I think he was drunk.
Right. Yeah. That. Look, I mean, my dad literally has written the world's better with you in it on my Facebook wall on my birthday in the past. I'm pretty sure it's a thing.
Cute.
I don't take personal offense to that. But I also recognize he's kind of doing it in a tongue-in-cheek, cheesy way. Mm-hmm. But it's a vapid statement that is tantamount to a participation trophy mm-hmm. for kids to just say it. It's not very rife with meaning. I mean, I guess you could say, yeah, you have an intrinsic value, and we do need to affirm that. But I think the reason why this went viral is because any pushback against the culture of coddling, against the culture of you are good just because you're you,
right?
And you're not responsible to make anything of yourself. You don't need to worry about your merit or taking responsibility for your life or not expecting the world to cater to you for doing absolutely nothing. That stuff is not culturally friendly and appropriate right now.
Mm-hmm.
That type of messaging of pull yourself up by your bootstraps or make something of yourself or the world doesn't owe you anything. That's not what the world can do for you, but what you can do for the world. That's not a mentality that's very popular in our culture right now. And I think that that cuts through, and that's why Dennis is, that's kind of the point he's making.
I think so.
It doesn't take much to like look at this and be like, okay, he's making a point like that. But if you look at this through an uncharitable lens and just focus on the soundbite, of course you can be like, wow, that's a horrible thing to say. And I think that's why.
Right,
because
yeah.
The internet's not very nuanced.
They're all like, Dennis hates kids. Well, clearly Dennis does not hate children. We all know this to be true. Dennis is just, like you said, he's not in that participation trophy type generation. And maybe a sign like that in a classroom to him is a participation trophy of some sort. He's also been talking like... Time ago, somebody asked him about like Anne Frank and her whole journal and everything. He's like, yeah, Anne Frank's cool and whatever. I'm not taking my wisdom from a teenager, though. and he said that on his show, which
maybe his show should be called Unapologetic.
It really should be, because with the stuff that's coming out of Dennis's mouth sometimes, yeah, so that could very well, he could take the name of our show, I think, definitely. But I think that's sort of the same vein that he's making this comment in, and just like, who told kids that, you know, all of them are meant to be special and all of them are meant to be heard and all of their opinions matter, which is something that my boyfriend says all the time. He's like, this generation, they literally all think that all of their words are supposed to be matter and all of them are supposed to be listened to. And they're 12 years old thinking that, you know, 45-year-old men and women should care about what they've done and their achievements and what they have to say about the state of the world.
Yeah, so we react to those viral TikToks of these little like 21-year-olds just out of college, and I'm working at LinkedIn, and I go here and I get this gourmet breakfast, and then they massage me, and then I go and, you know, sit in my next to my giant fish aquarium in my cushy office, and I do like 10 seconds of work, and it's just like this, everything's so entitled and so like I just because I'm me, I deserve all of this.
Right.
And it's like, no, this guy looks like he's ready.
Yeah. I feel like Dennis was definitely injecting some masculine message there, because like, as you guys were talking about, the generation today, and even the millennial generation, Taylor, mm-hmm. you're in my generation, it's just, it's ingrained, and at the base of it is just the coddling mother syndrome. And it's just, everything is about the self and you're good the way you are. There's no improvement needed whatsoever. And I think Dennis is just like shedding light, because he knows that's what the message is really saying, is like, you know, you don't need to improve yourself. That's all it is. And I think he's just, you know, there are two sides of the same coin, and you need that masculine message at the same time, because the feminine message has just been rammed down our throat to a point in which everybody is just seeping into that coddling mother syndrome.
Yeah, I mean, the quote here is, the world is better because you are in it. I think if you said the world could be better because you're in it, you have the potential to make the world better by being in it. You also have the potential to make the world worse, little kid.
Yeah, and that's where the responsibility comes in. Like, you have the opportunity of life, And you get to choose what you're gonna, if you're gonna make something out of yourself and leave the world a better place, or whether you are going to be lazy and a leech on the system, or just not make anything of yourself, or let your mind turn into mush from the media, social media, whatever. And of course, if you're talking to a fifth grader, it's a nice thing to say, to affirm them and say, you know what, it's nice. I'm glad you exist. In as much as that's what you're saying,
but
if that's your entire worldview, and like Scott's saying, if there's no balance, it's you know, there's sort of the masculine, you must earn approval, and then there's the feminine, I'm nurturing you, and you deserve approval just because
inherently.
You are. And those, and there's the, they're not mutually exclusive. There's truth to both of those. I think what Scott's getting at is in our cult, modern culture, it's so out of balance in that feminine. And that's what, again, it's no coincidence that Dennis a week or so ago was on the show saying, you know, that women are doing more harm to the world than men right now.
Sure.
But that's, it's not saying that that's inherently because women are worse. It's just saying we're out of that balance right now. And I think this traces back to that in some way.
Speaking of out of balance in the feminine. What a good segue. Into our next video.
Nailed it. Give her a raise.
Here's from Libs of TikTok. This person is reportedly a teacher. We are going to do some fact checking on this, but guys, take a look at the video before we get into it. What is going on here? There's no sound on this. I just want you guys to watch. This is, if you're looking at this and you're going, something does not look right. This seemingly does not look proportionate, nor does it look normal. It's because it's not. This is apparently a trans-identifying school teacher from Ontario High School seen wearing a massive prosthetic bust to teach. Now, the only site that has confirmed this is Redux, so not the most reputable source to the best of my knowledge, but we've got pictures here of this man who is apparently a shop teacher wearing what are ginormous fake tatas with fake nips and all.
How far can this go? We are just living in clown world. It's like at some point we just got like, what are we doing, guys? What are we doing here, people?
People are commenting like, what on earth? What the hell? Hell nah. And it's like, what other reaction are you supposed to have? How is this allowed? How is this allowed? Anybody from the Peanut Gallery, I will take answers. How is this allowed?
But, you know, I go back to this with all the stuff we see out of Libs of TikTok on the regular. And, I mean, you look at some of the people that are serving in the government right now who are very flamboyant about some of the weird things that they're into. It's like, this is just kind of a more extreme version of that. Mm-hmm. And it's taken it to its logical conclusion. I think this kind of reflects the fact that if you say something's a part of your identity or something that is a part of your sexual preferences, then nobody can criticize it and you get immunity. And in this logic that we're living in, this is okay because this is the expression of that. And it's like, no, if you have a society that's built on principles and just basic common sense, then you know that this is an absurdity that you don't want children or even high schoolers to be exposed to and shouldn't have to subject them to that because, oh, this is how I identify or this is a part of my self-expression. Like, no one cares. Like, that's weird and wrong and we just need to say it.
Dude, and what an insult to women, man, that you're like, I identify as a woman. Let me get the biggest tits I can find, the biggest prosthetic tits I can find, put them on. Let's plaster on a blonde wig, throw on, I don't know, a skirt or shorts, and I'm going to go to school to teach class. And that's what it means.
I mean, I think Libs of TikTok captioned that perfectly. No words, ellipses.
Yeah.
But also, like, not to belittle any of you guys' point, that's got to be a safety hazard in there in a workshop. Like, I was watching that video just prepared just like, for the worst. There.
If you hear a loud pop, man down. Literally man down. Oh my gosh. Now, luckily, I think these are just like prosthetic boobs that you put over whatever it is, like you put underneath what you're wearing. Like, they're not real, like surgically implanted.
Which makes it even worse. I mean, at least you could be like, oh, this is, you know,
this is who I am. It's part of my body.
But you're just putting something.
At least you could be committed.
It's like the whole furry thing right now, too. Like, are we going to have teachers allowed to show up to class as dressed as a cat?
Guys.
Like, I'm done.
Do we have to do an episode on furries? Can we ask the chat? Is this something that people have been asking me, multiple people now at this point have asked me to do an episode, a deep dive into furries, because apparently it's a big problem.
Including me. Look, Twitter forces it, the Fursuit Friday. It's probably trending right now still, but every Friday morning, Twitter forces it to trend. It's not because it's like this organically happening thing, but every Friday, Twitter features Fursuit Friday and all these people posting pictures of themselves as furries. I mean, we've heard this. It is a problem in schools, in elementary schools,
so
in
I've heard.
Middle schools. It's controversy whether the litter boxes in school bathrooms is actually happening or not.
Right.
There have been rumors that I've heard, but and then we had like a story that was debunked, and the fact checkers will jump all over us if we say it actually happened. But regardless, it's a problem. It's happening.
Yeah, we have a coworker here. Shout outs to Sabrina, hey girl, who says, like, you know, I've got like a kid in her family or something like that, who says, who's coming home and saying, yeah, there's a bunch of kids that identify as like cats and stuff and identify as furries at school, which, to the best of my knowledge, furries, as far as adults go, is a very sexual thing. And I, oh my gosh. And then we watched Turning Red, that Disney movie that came out. And they alluded to the young girl in that movie being a furry. They literally made like fur baby t-shirts for her. And she wore a little tail at the end of the movie that was a furry tail. Wasn't her little character, her little fox character that she turns in. She's literally wearing a furry tail and telling her mom, it's my body, my choice. This is what I'm going to wear to school, mom. So clearly there's an issue with young people, adults, and furries, and maybe this is something some of you guys are saying, please don't do an episode on it. Some of you are saying, absolutely do an episode on it. Oh my gosh.
I think all hell broke loose when they made that live adaptation of Cats play as a movie.
That's when people were like,
that broke the dam.
I'm into this.
Like, game over.
James Corden.
Pandora's box. James Taylor Corden Swift in that cat costume,
oh,
baby.
No. Oh boy.
Yikes.
We do have, I think, one more story before we get into our Super Chat Q&A for the day. If you guys have a question, you can drop a Super Chat. Once we get through the Super Chats, we will take questions from the chat. Woman King. I don't know if you guys have heard of this movie, The Woman King. I only heard about it recently. Taylor was the first one up on this story, as Taylor so often is the first one up on these stories. Apparently, it's a woman. Apparently, this is a movie coming out. About a tribe, a feminine matriarchal tribe known as the Dahomey tribe, a West African tribe that apparently in this movie is going to overcome a bunch of white colonizers who are coming to enslave them and to instate a slave trade of some sort. And you see this woman here. You probably, a lot of you recognize her. That's Viola Davis. She's an award-winning actress and has been in the acting game for quite some time. We've known that she's woke. But this movie, apparently, is an utter rewriting of history as far as the Dahomey tribe goes. So as much as they accuse us and people on the right side of the aisle as rewriting history or not wanting to talk about true history, here we have The Woman King that's coming out that is a complete and utter fabrication of history. Now, the Dahomey tribe apparently did exist. What they left out in the movie is that they in fact were a slave tribe that was actively engaging in enslaving their own people and people from other regions in West Africa. So as much as they did end up taking, what was it now, like maybe a 7 or 9 colonial
How people? Many soldiers that they killed from the colonists?
Yeah.
I mean, one tweet I saw said that the historical account has them inflicting like 10 casualties on the colonials versus taking 1,000 casualties among themselves. Mm-hmm. So like, it's just a strange thing to make a movie about.
Right.
This tribe that wasn't very effective at fighting, but casting them as this anti-colonial force that usurped them.
Yes. They were very effective at enslaving other people, though. Let's make that extremely clear. They were very effective in instating a slave state in their own region. Let's read some of this. So, set in 1823, the film positions Naniska, based on a real person, although she lived in a later era, as the leader of an epic fight to destroy slavery. Under the approving eye of the wise king, also a real person, named Gezo, she suggests transforming the country's trade into one built on palm oil, very famously from West Africa. All that is required to achieve this economic and moral revolution is one final decisive victory against the Oyo, who, after being rejected in a demand for tribute, seek to defeat and enslave the Agogi? Sure. Beat the Oya, and slavery will be beaten. Like we said, so that's a very beautiful depiction of what was a very different reality in history. So even leaving aside the extensive slave raiding and slave trading history of the Dahomey prior to 1823, this is comical. Oyo collapsed in 1835, and Gezo used the opportunity created by the fragmentation of the empire to capture more slaves from Oyo, now unprotected, from his now unprotected population. So,
warring to enslave his neighbors was the main source of Gezo's wealth.
He's literally like,
he resisted every British entreaty and threat to get him to abandon slave trading and get into the palm oil business. But that's the exact opposite of what the movie
plot is. The exact opposite. The movie plot is like, we need to beat this great enslaver, and that's how we will build our business and build our freedom. When in fact, they wanted to beat the great enslaver to enslave the people that he was enslaving.
But we just want to teach history, guys. That's why we need the 1619 Project and critical race theory in schools. We're just trying to teach history.
Right.
Accurate history is what it's all about. It's also why we're tearing down the George Washington statue. It's just accurate history is what we're really passionate about.
White people have only ever enslaved black people. It's never been black people enslaving black people. We have never had a part in that as Africans. We've never done such a thing. It has always been the evil white European colonizer. Look, our movie says so. Our movie, our recreation of history, says exactly that.
Yeah, and we talked about this a little at lunch about like how there are films that take their liberties with history. Like Gladiator comes to mind. Maximus was not really a historical figure.
The Patriot.
Yeah, The Patriot. That's based on a real person, but was not Benjamin Martin in The Patriot. Wasn't a real character, but. For the in Gladiator's case, they used the history as a historical backdrop, and they were pretty accurate to like who was there and what Rome was like at the time. And this is something different. This is not only rewriting history, but deliberately forgiving or overlooking atrocities in history and rewriting the villains as heroes because they have a certain skin color and gender that fits the intersectional narrative that you want to push. And that's really all this comes down to in my mind is this is a movie plot that is trying to push intersectional propaganda and using some loosely using a historical narrative. They're rewriting something evil into something good because to them it's worth it if I can put my intersectional point in there. And that is just, it's par for the course for where we are today, honestly, but it's very on the nose. And the fact that millions of people are going to pay to watch this movie, it's going to be celebrated. I'm sure people will win awards from it. And it's like, this is the state of Hollywood right now.
Yeah. And let's talk to those of you who go, I'm not going to watch this movie because Viola Davis has something to say to you. Viola Davis says that audiences who don't see The Woman King are supporting the narrative that black women cannot lead the box office globally. That's what she says. If you don't watch it, you're supporting a narrative that black women suck, that black women can't make good movies. Well, Viola Davis, if these are the movies that you come out with, then you can't. I'm so sorry. Make something better. Make something accurate. Make something that's not a complete and utter fabrication to push forth your own agenda. And then after subsequently doing that, telling people that if they don't watch it, they're racist.
Yeah, there are great stories about African-American women that you can tell. Like Hidden Figures comes to mind.
Yeah, that was a great movie.
Yeah, actually. There's...
I think Viola Davis is in that movie, is she not? Was she?
That's pretty on the nose. Yeah, you don't have to come up with this stuff. It's so strange. Or come up with a fictional world if you want to tell that, you know, it's in a more Black Panther style if you want to go that route. But there are plenty of inspiring figures in history to bring to life in today. But even for them, it's not what's most important is the intersectional commentary and propaganda I want to fit in here. So if I can pull from history and try to rewrite reality as I want it to be with these themes in there, then I'll overlook and rewrite villains and ignore the truth just to prove my point.
Right. That's exactly what's happened here.
Skylar, you got something?
Well, I was thinking first of all, like our conversation about the Manti Te'o documentary.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it kind of fits the bill that you're describing here with what they're attempting to do. It's, you know, while the story itself is just rich and so interesting, and there are so many layers to it, it seems as though Netflix put it on thinking that they were championing something completely different. And, you know, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it yet. But that was just popping up in the back of my mind because it was right on cue with this.
Yeah. I mean, it's just there's so much good stuff that you can make that you're capable of making. Mm-hmm. But because they subscripted themselves to this like victimhood, we got to bring in this great reckoning. You're just constantly going to deal with this stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like we talked about the other day with the Black Ariel controversy. It's kind of like, we don't really care, but I just can't wait till this is over. And we're getting great stories. We're getting great narratives and bringing history and bringing great works of mythology to life in compelling ways because we're focused on the value of the source material or communicating great stories in history, and not because we're focused on intersectionality. Mm-hmm. And
right.
I think that's the critique: is great art and great stories should not come at the expense, or we shouldn't prioritize political messaging and intersectionality, modern politics. That shouldn't come as priority over just great storytelling.
No good. No good. Now, guys, that closes out our stories for today. Let's get to our Super Chat Q&A. And before we get to those, which Taylor has compiled, I want to let you know, guys, we do have an email list that you can sign up for. So if you want to get a personalized email from me every now and then, plus a monthly exclusive video that is not going to be on this YouTube channel for others to see, you can sign up for my email list. Plus, we've just opened up a new Discord that eventually we'll be giving out to you. If you guys want to have your own little unapologetic community, talk to each other, talk about what guests you want to see on the show, the topics that we discuss on the show, and sort of give me guidance on stuff that you want to see, but also just have a conversation with like-minded people who share this podcast and share this channel together. You guys can join the Discord through getting on the email list. You'll also be the first to know when we drop our clothing line, which hopefully is coming. We're working on it in the background. It's a lot more difficult than it looks. But email list will also be the first to know there, so you can go to the link in the description down below, type in your little email, and you'll get all signed up. Now, let's get into Super Chats.
Okay, this was the first one I saw, and they gave money, so I have to read it. No, I'm just kidding. What's your favorite color? This is from Kobatami.
Oh, gosh. This is really difficult. I really like the pink is lame. It's like a lame answer. I get it. If I'm going to go fringe, I really like the color yellow. It's just like sunshiny, happy goodness.
Should have said color purple.
The color purple. Black. Everybody black. And that's it.
All right. Anyways, that's my Scott, what's your favorite color?
Ooh, I have to go blue.
Yeah.
Blue
he's wearing
favorite.
It.
I look like a blueberry right now, so.
You look like a blueberry.
I'm team
Taylor,
blue.
Taylor, you team blue?
Yep. Okay. Mane Kalia says, woke is originated from USA. It has spread to other countries. What is your suggestion to people in other countries how to fight against woke?
Dude, I meet people from other countries and they're like, it's harder over here than it is in the United States, which is
like
wild to me.
I feel like British people are like, y'all invented this crazy woke stuff and it's coming over here and I don't like it.
Right, yeah. I did meet a few people while I was in London who was like, you know, I cannot believe this stuff that you guys are talking about is sort of seeping over into our own country. As far as how to deal with it, I mean, do we even know how to deal with it? Do we know what we're doing?
Yeah, so far, the answer seems to be let it go to the absolute point of utter absurdity and hit rock bottom. But we're still looking for the rock bottom.
Right.
So I'll let you know when we get there.
Where is she? We'll let you know. We're still sinking.
I mean, there have been, what would you say have been some of the more effective pushback against the woke stuff? Like, there's like the alternative economies of, you know, like Daily Wire launched Jeremy's razors in response to Harry's razors going woke and canceling them. So there's that.
Yeah,
argument.
Alternative creations. I don't know that defeats the woke stuff that's happening, although it does create just another avenue for people who are trying to escape it.
Parents standing up against CRT in their schools, that type stuff.
Yeah. Honestly, it's like when things go to, like you said, kind of like the rock bottom. Like when I meet people who are previously left-leaning, who maybe are not conservative, but just have abandoned sort of the ideas that wokeism puts forth, it's like COVID really woke me up, and that's what made me realize. The George Floyd riots really woke me up, and that's what made me realize. Black Lives Matter and the money that they stole, that woke me up, and that's what made me realize. So it's always just like the
just
most
let their
extreme.
Hypocrisy
show. Yeah, it's like always the most extreme thing. Yeah. And in the show that Taylor and I did that I was talking about earlier that we cannot tell you the name of yet, although you guys can guess in the chat if you want. There's a guy on who's like going back and forth with us debating on the topic of cultural appropriation. And he was just the most absurd depiction of what it is to be a woke person you could think of. I mean, to
Ivory
its
Tower
fullest
professor.
Extent. Yes.
Yeah.
Totally like black victimology 101 studier, teacher probably, talking about how systemic racism has affected black people and history is what tells the truth and history is what tells, you know, the path we're supposed to go down. And just allowing him to speak to as far as he wanted to was the most exposing thing about the entire show. Just let him run and people will realize how ridiculous.
Yeah, and the audience, the live studio audience was surveyed a couple times in the room, and this guy kind of dominated the discussion,
yes.
But nobody agreed with him. And when the audience was asked, like, who do you agree with more or whatever, like 60-40, even 80-20 was like, no, not this guy.
Right.
And so the woke people like to talk a lot and they like to take the moral high ground, and they use very tricky language and rhetoric that makes you feel like you can't argue back, but everyone knows with common sense that their whole ideology is like this religious sort of weird worldview that is really built on a house of cards. So
common sense prevails.
Common sense does prevail. Let's see. Emmanuel says, shower thought. A pregnant woman is walking into an abortion clinic. I haven't read this all the way through, so I don't know where it's
gosh,
going.
Oh gosh, Emmanuel. What are you going
to
say to us?
Yeah, where are you leading us, Emmanuel? To get an abortion. I back out of a parking spot, accidentally knocking her down and killing the baby. Should I be tried for murder? This is like one of those ethical dilemmas.
I think it's different in every state. Like if you did that, I think it would be involuntary manslaughter of two people. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. And it has happened in the past that women who have been murdered whilst pregnant, it's been double homicides. So I think it's dependent on the state and the legislation for where you're at, but it could be involuntary manslaughter of two people. Yeah.
Boom.
That's my answer to that.
Got it. Okay.
Look at me.
Crisis averted.
Look at me.
Christian TEM something. It's cut off. Gave $20 and just said, thanks for being you.
Aww.
The world's a better place with you in it.
Take the sign down. That's the dumbest super chat I've ever read. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I love that. Thank you so much, Christian. I appreciate it.
If my dad sent me that super chat, I would think he's drunk.
Poor Dennis. Poor baby Dennis.
Oh, I know.
That was kind of sad. Dennis, right. We love you. And the world is a better place because you're in it.
All right. Mark K gave $5 and did not ask a question. So thank you, Mark.
Oh. We rocking with Mark.
But
hey, Mark.
He'll pay for Aurora, who did not donate anything, but we'll ask her question.
Sure.
Aurora Jones, what is your opinion on the World Economic Forum and ESGs? Oh. How much probability that we'll get that rolled out to USA from the shadow government?
Girl, how much time do you have? That's a whole another episode we're going to do. And I have two friends, Andrew and Lewis, who work for Rebel News. One, Lewis is in London, who he's been on the show, and Andrew is in Canada. He's been on the show as well, who I want to have on to just do a deep dive into the World Economic Forum and talk about that. My thoughts on World Economic Forum, negative, ghostwriter, not into it at all. My thoughts on ESGs, for those of you who don't know what ESGs are, they're basically like a credit system, a score that you get as a company and eventually as an individual that states how well you are contributing to the environment, to your society, to your own government, and how you're choosing to go about the world, how many carbon emissions you're letting out,
how many diversity trainings your employees have been through.
Right. All that fun stuff will be scored in what is an ESG score, which is given to corporations and, like I said, could be eventually given to individuals. So not pro that at all. It's very much a social credit score. Not interested. But the World Economic Forum is trying to sort of usher in this future. Do I think it's realistic? In part, Yes, of course, because we already have a government that's engaging in this. There are ESGs that have taken root in our corporations here in the United States. Canada, you know, Justin Trudeau is a member of the World Economic Forum. There are several American intellectuals who are members of the World Economic Forum and have worked with worked at Davos and with Klaus Schwab and all this stuff. You guys let me know if you want an in-depth episode about this, because I could talk about this for literal hours. So I'm not going to say it's unrealistic. You know, a lot of people say it's a little bit too conspiratorial to think about a completely globalist economy that's run by all these different world leaders. But slowly and surely, we're seeing countries implement little bits of this one step at a time. If you look at the Netherlands and the farming crisis that's happening right there, right now, all of that has been ushered in by the World Economic Forum.
Sri Lanka literally collapsed. Yep. Governments literally collapsed from it. Okay. Great answer, by the way.
That's a long-winded one. We'll explain all that later.
876 Fan Red says, woke movie of the month, Amala. Do you guys like when we do those woke movie reviews? We did the movie Nope. We did...
It's not okay.
Not okay. And we probably could have done this Viola Davis one, but I don't really want to watch that.
If you guys
like those, let us know. We can keep doing them.
I guess if I'm going to pick a woke movie of the month, it's got to be Not Okay, because that's the most recent one that I've watched, and I think the wokest of what we've watched. However, I am holding off to watch Don't Worry, Darling.
That's our next one.
And I think that's going to take the cake. I love my girl Florence Pugh, and so far I've heard from the critics who have watched the movie that she has a stellar performance in this movie, and she does in literally every single movie that she graces the screen of. So I will give her that. She's a little woke, I believe, but talent usurps some of that for me. I'll allow it. So yeah, I'm excited to watch the film, actually.
All right. Sup, my dude says, I think it's fine to make minor changes to a historical story in a film for artistic license, but to do it for political reasons is beyond stupid.
Well, yeah, it's who's a great example? Quentin Tarantino is a fantastic example of literally taking pieces of history and completely rewriting and flipping on its head the way these things happen. Django Unchained, fantastic example. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where, you know, the people win in the end and the serial killer gets defeated. So he takes these moments in history and flips them for theatrical, fictional, you know, just alluding to this is how it could have gone if the underdogs had won in this situation. To make a film that switches history on its head and then say, if you don't love the film, you're a racist, and speak to it and say, based on true events,
right? That's the distinction. They're marketing this Woman King movie as based on
true events,
which that is the loosest interpretation right. of what they're doing. But yeah, I think that's an important distinction to make. Doing it for artistic reasons,
yeah, totally fine.
Don't piss on me and tell me it's raining, as they say.
I love that. I love that line. I will take a couple more. See what else we got.
Okay. Would you ever consider doing a live show, maybe in Atlanta or Alabama or Tennessee or in your home state of Florida?
Okay. Atlanta's off the list. We're going to die. We touched
Atlanta. I was in Atlanta last weekend.
I've seen the crime reports coming out of that city.
I mean, look.
I'm just kidding.
Coming from someone who lives in LA. Come on.
I know. But which one's worse? I would be down to do a live show at some point. I've thought about doing like live music and all that sort of fun stuff and putting together a whole show for you guys. So eventually we'll get there. I don't know if we're at that space yet. We're still growing the channel, getting our feet on the ground, developing a good cadence, trying to get you guys on just a basic Discord. So once we get past that,
we can discuss this in the Discord if you want to. And if you want to like invite Amala to your university campus or have her come speak at an event, that's totally on the table. And we could possibly do a show from somewhere that she goes and speaks and visits or does an event from. So all that's on the table. We're just trying to keep up with everything we're doing right now, 5 days a week and press hits and all this stuff. So
yeah, buddy.
A lot going on, but always an option.
Always an option.
Okay. Let's see. AJ asks, Amala, do you love musicals?
I love musicals. I'm a musical nerd. When I went to London with John, we watched, I think, 7 different musicals, and I subjected him to all of them. So what a brave soldier he is. I love musicals. I had the time of my life going and seeing all those live shows, and I've been a musical nerd since I was a little kid. So very much up there. If I was not doing this job, I would be like pursuing musical theater or, you know, running a little small children's theater or something like that. I think that'd be dope.
Do you have a favorite?
I'll get my current
Hold
favorite
on, he didn't
of the time.
Pay. You don't have to.
That'll be $2. Heather's the Musical is my current favorite right now, but it changes every week. So thanks, guys. Thanks, right. guys, for indulging my nerdiness on that.
No, they asked. They want to know. We love it. Okay, Savrix asks, or actually, it's not a question. It's just a statement. Savrix, we've seen him a lot over the
yes.
year plus.
What up?
Atheist. A sun equals atheistic heavens of matter. Those who dispersed around the globe centuries ago can now absorb the technology and culture of those nations.
That I'm confused.
Sounds very profound. I'm not sure I understand
it. I'm thoroughly confused.
But
Scott, do you understand that? I don't understand what was just said.
Neither do I.
Say All it right. one more time. Or don't, because I
you
still
guys can
will
read
not
it
understand
there. Yeah.
it.
Go back and watch it if you're... If someone decipher that for us and let us know. Shing to me says, question, Amala, what is the fun thing you like to do on the weekend?
Oh, gosh. So while Scott and Taylor gallivant around with their wives to different places, I'm chilling at home. Literally all day. I love chilling on the weekend. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. It's nice to do nothing.
It is nice to do nothing.
I'm doing nothing this weekend.
We spend our whole week doing something. On the weekend, I do nothing.
Yeah, especially after this week.
Yeah. So I like to go to like a cool restaurant or something, chill for a little bit. Sometimes I'll go dancing with my roommate. But other than that, I'm chilling like a villain on the weekend. But this weekend, I'm doing a little bit of traveling. Yeah, I won't say where,
so
but I'm
doing
a little bit of traveling.
Give us the address. Okay, Mo Bucks. This is a super chat. Asks, how do you feel about corporal punishment?
Oh, no, no bueno for me. And this is going to be probably a spicy take. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, but I am anti-spanking children.
Yeah, we talked about talking about this because I'm kind of like, I'm not like pro-spanking children.
You're a pro-spanker?
I was spanked and I'm kind of grateful for it. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm a not going to hit my kids' parents. So
right, don't use your old leftist rhetoric tactics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Change the word. Hits versus
you,
spank.
You guys know that Hits spanking is spank. Hitting. Come on now. That is that is not no
Applying
leftist
physical
rephrasing.
Discipline.
I will not be using physical discipline on my children.
It's applying the rod of correction to the seat of higher learning.
Oh,
that's an old church.
Wow, what a beautiful reframing of spanking.
maybe we get into that debate sometime. That'd be fun.
Yeah. I have plenty to say about that. We can get into that.
All right, maybe one or two more. Debriv, could you guys do a deep dive of the SEC versus Ripple Labs case? Huge conflicts of interest and very relevant to global politics. So
literally
heard
never heard of her.
Yeah.
Never met her. Don't know her. You should introduce me. What, SEC?
SEC.
Versus the Ripple
Securities
Labs?
Securities Exchange Commission, I
yes.
think. Versus. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of this?
No, no, okay. I haven't heard of it.
We'll have to look into it. Jade asks, it is my first right-leaning It's my first right-leaning football, so what's your opinion of the NFL and its wokeness?
First right-leaning football.
I don't get the first part, but what's your opinion of the NFL's being woke?
I mean, I guess it's just like, it's like any sport. I think we saw the NFL get increasingly woke after like Colin Kaepernick era, you know what I mean? Where he compared being in the NFL to being like chattel slavery, which is absolutely ridiculous. And I think you've got a lot of men making millions of dollars, working very hard. I will say I could reduce it and say throwing a ball across the field. I won't do that. They're working very hard. They work very hard day in and day out to do the jobs they do, but they're making millions of dollars playing a sport. To go and complain about wokeness and racism and all this stuff, I don't have ears for it. I really do not. And it seems to be every time the NFL is in the news for something, the players complaining about racism or bigotry or whatever, it's like the coach said the N-word in the locker room, or the coach said the N-word in an email that he sent 4 years ago to the assistant of the assistant of the assistant. And it's like, I could not care less. I, in fact, could not care less. And he should keep working. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, sports is one of those areas of culture where it should just be a shared space that is free from politics that we can just enjoy. And it reminds us of what we share together as Americans, as just human beings. And putting politics into that is just really annoying. I saw this year I was watching last night's game, and they have like all the messages about ending racism and stuff on, which on its face is like, why do you have a problem with wanting to end racism? It's like, I don't. I have a problem with continuing to push the narrative that racism is a problem that we need to focus on, shine a light on so much so that it needs to be on the back of every football helmet.
Their definition of racism is totally different from what our definition of it would be.
Yeah, I think there's also a difference too when there's an individual player that chooses to, you know, push a message themselves versus like the entire organization of the NFL doing it and plastering, you know, all the BLM stuff, everything like that for the past three seasons. There's a complete difference. And then there's also somewhat of the, it's somewhat pandering. And I think there was a story today where the NFL came out and put an Enye over their N for the Spanish heritage.
In a tweet.
Yeah, it's
like, okay. So
someone did a meme about from the episode of The Office whenever they had like Spanish Heritage Day in The Office and like,
and they changed everything.
They wrote the Enye over the lemonade bottle.
It was Ryan.
Yeah. So,
dude, that is hilarious. Oh man, I think we got another super chat here.
Yeah, this is nothing personal, that one.
Yeah.
You want to read it? You should read it.
Sure. Really appreciate your voice and opinion on the increasing number of issues. I'm not brave enough to speak out about. Aw, sincerely, a centrist girl in tech. Awesome. Thank you so much for watching.
That's great to hear. And that's something with the Discord and other things. We're trying to build a community around the show of people who you don't have to be a very politically engaged or politically minded person. We're really not, honestly. But it's just, if you are a free thinking person who wants that the middle 80% of very common sense people, I mean, I guess we could say we lean right politically, but you know, that is exactly the kind of people that we want on board. So thank you for watching. And
if you disagree with this, let us know you disagree. And if you disagree, join the Discord to let everybody else know that you disagree. And you guys have conversations about it and go back and forth. Like, that is the amazing part of being able to create a channel like this, is that like y'all, we can talk it out. We don't have to be like everybody else who's constantly fighting all the time over any given thing and can't go back and forth and have a discussion. We can have the discussion. So thank you so much for being a centrist who watches the show. Savrick says, placebo mask wearing, placebo racism effect, fake.
All right.
Hey. You know, there's a lot of fakeness going around these days.
True. S. Bowman asks, we got to wrap it up here in a second.
Yeah,
but
we'll get this.
This is a $10 one. Do you think conservatives band together on hypocrisy such as the black on white fight as good as leftists do? Do you think conservatives band together on hypocrisy such as the black on white fight as good as leftists do?
I think you're asking, like, are conservatives getting as much done on their front as leftists are getting done on their front, it seems. I think that's the question that's being posed. No. Of course not. I'm waiting to see how these next, you know, this next round of elections goes. I won't tell anything about who I endorse or where you guys should vote, because that is not our job here under this umbrella. But we'll see how it goes. You can put people in office who supposedly support your values and they do nothing to further them. So I don't really have much faith in either political side as far as getting things done. However, I do see people who support my values more so than others. And that's really the end of it. I think we've spent so much time being reactionary to and responsive to people who just keep inching and inching and inching and inching on us, which is why we have videos of biological male teachers with huge plastic tits and shop glass just doing their thing with a blonde wig on. But that's, at the moment, I'm waiting to see if somebody is truly brought in who is making some change. We're seeing a lot of that out of the state of Florida. So that's about all I can say on that subject matter. We could be better. And I think
do better. Yeah, I think that's it for today.
I think that's where we close out today's show on a very, very fun Friday. Guys, thank you so much for watching. I hope you enjoyed the show. Leave a comment down below. What should the comment be?
Well, first, do you have any advice for people for this weekend?
Do I have any advice for people for this weekend?
Random advice?
Random advice. Oh, no. Oh, no. Wash your white shoes with bleach, as I very much need to do. These are no longer white. They are a gray. So that's the advice that I would give to you. Do as I say, not as I do. We are trying to instate a random piece of advice at the end of every show.
Yeah. I didn't introduce that very smoothly. Sorry.
No, it's all good. I totally forgot that we were even going to do that. But at the end of every show, guys, if you don't get your random piece of either really good or really bad advice, you can sue me for $1. $1 collectively shared amongst all of you. But yeah, so that's my bit of advice there.
And get a new toothbrush every 3 months. What's the conventional wisdom on that one? I don't even know.
I don't even know what the actual, what do 9 out of 10
dare I ask when the most recent time you replaced your toothbrush was?
I boil my toothbrushes. I don't know if other people do that.
Wait, when do you boil them? At the beginning, or
what do you mean?
No, like after you've used them for a while, you boil it to get rid of all the germs or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, science.
I thought you meant
like
you buy the hard bristles and boil it to soften them or something.
No. When I feel like I need a new toothbrush, I'm like, oh, I'll just boil the toothbrush that I have. That's a thing that I do.
That's weird.
I still switch out my toothbrush. Maybe like.
So you've had the same one for 5 years? Cool.
Yeah, I've had the same toothbrush since I was 5 years old. we call her Lucky. Anyways, guys, I need to close
There's
out the
advice.
Show now. There's your piece of advice.
Leave a comment.
Leave a comment down below. What are we gonna comment? Are you gonna go watch The Woman King? And if so, you let me know how that is because I will not be joining you. Comment that down below. Also, if you like the show, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we go live. That is 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And often we post other videos, shorts, short little videos where we explore different news topics and trending things that people are talking about. So you'll get notified for those as well. And if you'd like to get a personalized email from me every now and then, updating you on what's happening over here on Unapologetic Live as well as Unapologetic Not Live, you can sign up for my email list. It's in the description down below. Click the link, put in your little email, and you'll get some messages from me, updated on other PragerU projects that are going on. You'll get our Discord when that comes out. You'll be the first to know about our clothing line when that comes out, and you'll be the first to know anything when anything comes out because you're signed up for the email list. I know email lists are sort of like, ew, pesky, ugh, I don't want your emails. They fill up my inbox. I don't want to read what you have to say. But guys, just do it anyways. Do it for me. Do it. If you don't do it, if you don't do it, you hate black women and you don't think they can lead an email list.
Wow.
That's really how I feel about it. Okay. Anyways, guys, thanks for watching. I'll see you guys Monday.